بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. If someone has to make Hajj whilst he is residing in Mecca, so there isn't the formalities that are normally required of a foreigner that is making Hajj. All those formalities he doesn't require. All he needs to do on the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah, he will put on his ihram, he'll proceed to Mina. The following day, on the 9th, he will go up to Arafat, then he'll pass Muzdalifah, and then he'll come back to Mina, do the Rami, the dam that he has to offer, he will offer, and then he will shave and complete the Tawaf Ziyarat. So his Hajj is very simple. From Makkah he'll just go to Mina and he'll complete everything. Now the person that is living in a foreign country, South Africa for example, and he will have to do a lot of formalities. He'll have to first apply for a passport. For the passport he'll have to fill forms. Then he'll have to take a photograph of himself. Then apart from all that, he'll need currency. He'll need to buy a ticket. Then he will have to apply to the Sahuk, whatever it is, his name comes up. Then all the formalities are over, then he will go to the airport. Then he will board the plane. Then he will come up to Jeddah, and then the clearance there. And then eventually from Jeddah he will come up to his residence in Makkah Mukarramah. Now, if this second person says to the first person that you say Hajj is so simple, but your Hajj, you didn't have to do all these things here. You didn't have to apply for a passport. You didn't have to board the plane. You didn't have to go for clearance. You didn't have to take yellow fever vaccinations and all that. You didn't have to do all these type of things. Nor did you come to an airport, nor was there any custom clearance. So perhaps your Hajj is incomplete. So what will this Makki, what will he say? The Makki will say, the person living in Makkah, he will say, these are all things that are not part of the Hajj. But because of the land and the place that you are situated in, you go through all these phases and eventually you come to complete your Hajj. And we have completed all those phases. All we have completed, we are right there. So we don't have to go through all those formalities that you have to go through. So now this is the difference between us and the Sahaba Ikram. Sahaba Ikram were already there. So they didn't need to go through all these different phases in order to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, get that nisbat and that ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were already there. As far as we are concerned, now we need to get there. And getting there, we'll have to adopt all that formalities. Now if someone says, but you know what, the Sahaba Ikram didn't do all these things, why are you doing it? Yes, definitely the Sahaba Ikram didn't do it. But the Sahaba Ikram were already there. They didn't have to adopt all that procedure. Now we aren't there, so we have to adopt all that procedures. All those procedures. Okay, before we reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can't just get up. We don't have that line. We don't have that potential. We don't have that ability to reach up Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala straight. They had it. They had everything. They were right at the niche of Nubuwwat. The niche of Risalat, they were there. So they didn't have to go through all those procedures. Now, This is where some people make a mistake and they feel that these practices and these procedures that we go through wasn't found in the Sahaba Kiram, why are you practicing it? So this is not just something isolated to tasawwuf, there are other things as well, and certain procedures are adopted which were not found in the time of the Sahaba Kiram. In a madrasa, you will take admission, right? And you will fill all those admission forms. There will be certain criteria required of you to get admission into a madrasa for secondary studies. They will ask you, you know how to read and write, can you understand? Do you know Urdu or English? Right. Now this will be amongst the criteria. Now someone says, hey, you get into a madrasa, you need to know this English language, kafir language, you need to know it. They can misconstrue it, can't they misconstrue it? And you need to fill an admission form. And they're so strict about that admission form that they won't give you admission. Now where is this report in the hadith? They're going and doing all type of kafir things, people. Right? Then after that admission form is over, all those formalities are over, now you come into the madrasa, then they tell you, you'll have to go into the pre-first year. Now you tell him, but I came here to learn deen. I didn't come to learn English and Urdu and all these things here. I came to learn deen. Why don't you let me learn hadith? Can you see? Sahaba learned that hadith directly from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And you will have to take 6 years to get there. Sahaba learned it directly. And you, in order to appreciate that very thing that the Sahaba Ikram took directly, you have to spend 6 years to create the potential in you, the ability in you, to be able to appreciate that hadith. Now you're not in the position, you can't appreciate that hadith. Now after the pre-first year, now you're coming into the first year. Now they're teaching you Urdu, they're teaching you writing, and they've got different periods, first period, second period, then they've got a class in the morning, class in the afternoon, there's a break in between. Then there is a semester, 3 semesters in the year, writing one examination, and the second one, and the third one. Now someone turns around and says, but all this were not found in the Sahaba Ikram's time. Why do you do all these things, all these bid'at, innovations, and you consider it as so important that you won't give the person admission? If the person didn't do well, you put him back. So you're treating it like faras. So what will you tell him? You will tell him that nobody considers this as part of ibadat. Nobody considers this as part of deen. That if someone didn't do it in this procedure, then he'll be a gunegar, he'll be sinful. But experience shows that the person who comes this way, he will find a certain type of rang in him, a certain type of color in him. He will have a certain finish in him. He will be able to appreciate and understand. He'll be able to identify situations. He'll be able to work out masail and problems of people. He'll be able to do all these things. If he comes direct, he won't understand. So just like in the madrasa, the student has to go through all that procedures until he comes up there. Now the same thing will apply in a jamaat as well. I'll say, I want to sacrifice for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, give my life. So alright, bhai, first you'll start off with your shab guzari, go to Hilal Masjid. But bhai, the Hilal Masjid never exist in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sahaba Ikram didn't do all these things here. Oh, bhai, we'll understand that later on, but you start off with Hilal Masjid, come for the shab guzari. And then, no, 2 gush in the week. Where is in the, in which hadith there is that? Must do 2 gush in the, do 2 gush in the week. Which kitab, which hadith? Show me which kitab, any kitab that has got. There must be 2 gush in the week, and the gush must be done in this style that we are doing it. Which kitab has got it? No kitab has got it. And you say, must have 2 talim. Where all this thing came? This talim, you know that, these kitabs were just written about 70, 80 years ago. So now you're so punctual upon this talim, and 2 talim must have, 1 talim here, 1 talim in the house. So where all this thing originated from? You see? Yeah. Then you'll tell him, But it doesn't end there. Then you have to go for 3 days. Every month you must spend 3 days. And apart from the 3 days, you must spend 2.5 hours in the masjid. I'm telling you so many times, why you people are doing so many bid'at? All these things didn't exist in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. 2.5 hours and 2 gersh. And ta'lim here, ta'lim in the masjid. Yeah? And go to Hilal Masjid and all this. So why do they put you into this tartib? Why do they put you into this system? That you get an understanding. A potential is created in you. You have an outlook of the work. You get an acquaintance to the work. Now you got acquainted to the work. Say, now, right now, after all this, you have done this for 4, 5 months, 6 months. Now you go for 40 days local. Now you get a better understanding. That you cut off from home. You in a town that you have got no contact with your own home, outside. And you're outside for a long period. So you begin to identify with situations out of your home. What you must expect, how you conduct yourself, how you interact with other brothers, what you must expect, how you must behave with them, what will be the duties and responsibilities that will be shouldered by you. How do you behave when you come into a masjid? Now you go on telling the person, but this wasn't the Sahaba Kiram's time. There wasn't this 40 days of going to the masjid and spending like this time. There was no such a thing in the time of Sahaba Kiram, but why are you doing it like this? Right? Then eventually all this is ended and then you go for that 4 months. Now you get an understanding, this is what is meant, that this work was the work of the Sahaba Kiram. Now you understand it. After all that going through the mill, going through that difficulty, itne zyada paper belne ke baad, ab samajh mein aata hai, ye hai matlab sahaba kiram ka kaam. Now you understood it. But before you couldn't understand it, you couldn't appreciate it. Now you got an old outlook, you got an overview of the whole thing. Why they have asked you to do it in this particular manner. Okay. So the same thing that happens in a madrasa will find happening in a khanqa. And they will have a same tartib they will have in a jamaat also. They will say, alright, you go for gush now, go for gush after maghrib. And talk after isha. Okay. Khususi mulaqat, you'll go now, and umumi mulaqat afterwards. And you'll have one person sitting in the masjid to make zikr. Now, really you got this? No. You just carry on the tartib, you understand everything. When time comes, you understand that why everything is done in this sequence, in this tartib. You will understand, the answers will come to you of their own, but you start it off. So it's a training. It's a training. And the training has been structured to create a certain type of mindset and outlook. And through experience of the elders that have pioneered and engineered this work, whichever work it is, they found out that you'll find results in this way. Like in the madrasa, the elders that have engineered the madrasa work, right? They found that you go through this sequence, that you will get to this type of finish. Now then you don't question the authority because you got the confidence in them. Same in a jamaat and same in a khanqa, you don't question the authority because now you have got a certain degree of respect for them, you understand. Right? But now, if someone has got all this already, he's got this all. Right? For example, he's come to a khanqa and he's already gone through a training, and on account of going through the training, so he has got those type of values already. He's got the value and the concept of ihsan, for example. That he performs namaz, and he performs namaz as though this is his last namaz. And this is a perpetual kayfiyat and a condition with him. He sees Allah Ta'ala wherever he goes. Right? Or for example, he comes to a madrasa, and he's reciting the Quran Sharif very, very correctly, precise, correct pronunciation. Exact, precise. Now you won't ask him now that you go and do Qaida Baghdadi and you go by Qari Sahib and learn the Makharij and all that, because he's gone through these phases. Because he's gone through these phases, so he doesn't need to go through the training, the rigmarole, he doesn't need to go through. He's passed all that. Now if you ask him to go and learn that Alif Ba, when he can recite well, his Qiraat is absolutely perfect, Makharij is absolutely right. Now if you ask him to go and learn Alif Ba again, then There is no point in you doing that. There's no point. Just like now in the Khanqa, now he's reached all that, and he's reached that maqam. So when he's reached that maqam of ihsan, that the hadith speaks about, أَنْتَ عَبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ, that you worship Allah Ta'ala as though you see Him. And then this is not just for one namaz, or one zikr, or one Qur'an Sharif tilawat. No, it's a perpetual condition all the time. You're going through this all the time. Sometimes it happens, we're sitting for zikr, we get a certain kayfiyat. We feel the presence of Allah Ta'ala, the love of Allah Ta'ala. And then you feel like crying. And then you say, no, there, I got it. Got it means that it is a perpetual condition. Whilst you in the masjid, you got it. Whilst you with your wife and children, you got it. See? Whilst you with your friends, you've got the same feeling. Otherwise, whilst you with your friends and your wife and all that, there's a different picture. There, you're doing everything. All the hell is breaking loose there. The television also goes. You pick up on You magazine also is going. See? Some other porn is also going. So everything and anything can go whilst you are there. Now, holiday time comes, then you are a different person. Just now, in the Khanqa, you were sitting there, it was a different thing. Ramadan month came, you were a different person. And the holiday time comes, now you are a different person. But just now you were like this, and then you are like this now. So that means you don't have that condition of ihsan. You don't have that condition of ihsan. You imagine that you have it, but really you don't have it. The child is, sometimes it happens, in some places, the child is made to learn qiraat, half a ruku or something, and he got all the makharij, everything right in his half a ruku. Right? Now you judge him according to the recitation of that half a ruku, is the judgment right? Now you ask him to, at random, read from anywhere. See if we can implement all that laws in the rest of the Quran. He can't do it. When he can't do it, now how can you say that he has mastered it? So he's got it for that one namaz, he's got it for that one Quran Sharif tilawat, he's got it for the month of Ramadan. But after that period has elapsed, he doesn't have it. So that means he hasn't got it yet. Having it means that this must be perpetual, it must be with him all the time. In isolation he's got it, in public he's got it. In business he's got it, at home he's got it, all the time he's got it. Now in a business we are different people, totally different people. The consciousness and the awareness of Allah Ta'ala is not there. We are different people. And it comes out, it appears. In our business, in our interaction with people, in our behavior, all this thing appears. There you will be seeing, now what is the level of this person's righteousness? That ihsan is judged. With that is seen with that person's behavior, his conduct. How does he conduct himself? How does he go on? And you will see that through his behavior, that Umar radiallahu anhu inquired about a certain person. Perhaps he wanted to send him out in a certain, for a certain errand, or appoint him as a governor at a certain place. So he wanted to know what is this person like, you know. When you go for an interview, they ask you your CVs and all, they want to know where you worked and what's the type of experience you have and how qualified, what experience you got. They ask you for all these things before the appointment. They won't disappoint you like that. So as Umar radiallahu anhu is asking about this person here, and does anybody know about him? One sahabi got up and he says, yeah, I know him. I saw him at the masjid or something. So as Umar radiallahu anhu asked him that, perhaps you have saw him reciting and performing lengthy rakats. And because of this, what you have witnessed, you came to the conclusion that he's a very pious person. Have you traveled with him at any time? Have you did business with him at any time? Have you accompanied him for a month or 2 months on any occasion? No, I haven't done. I haven't done business with him. I haven't accompanied him. I haven't dealt with him at any time. So then, well, you don't understand the person. You haven't recognized the person. So this must be a perpetual condition. Must be a perpetual condition. Okay. People nowadays, they say that you come for a proposal, or the boy and the girl must talk. Now, by what are you going to discover within that half an hour? In the 1 hour, what are you going to discover? He's going to put up his best and she's going to put up her best. They're going to talk, the way they'll thrill each other, that girl will think that there isn't a person like him on planet Earth. And the boy will also think, hey, this girl, she is too high. Whereas she had gone through all the training, mother and everyone must have trained her, like he must have all got the training as well. She'll ask like this and he must answer like this. This is what she'll do and this is how he must answer. You know. And both know it is just for that hour, for that half an hour. Now what are you going to discover in that half an hour? You're not going to discover anything. So you need to see the person for a long period. Now you've seen him, you understood the person for some time, or you dealt with him, you did some business with him. Now, eventually, you get a true picture of the person. You haven't done these things here, and you make a decision, you pass some judgment against that person or for that person, then it's not a fair thing. It's not the right thing. So this ihsan is not just that the person is reading lengthy rakats of namaz. We're going to see you all the time, what you are doing. How are you behaving? In your business, we're going to see you. Muhammad bin Sirin, rahmatullah alayhi, he was a businessman. Many of these Aimmah Mujtahideen were businessmen. They were, on the one end, they were great imams, and on the other end, they were great businessmen as well. But then, don't get the wrong end of the stick. Sometimes when you hear this type of things, present ulama feel, or we should also get into business, this great people, and they had got into business, so we must also get into business. It's right that they were great businessmen, but they had that type of acumen, that type of ability and strength that they could master both things at one and the same time. They could do it, they could achieve both. Have you got the strength? You don't have the strength, you don't have the mental strength, you don't have the physical strength that you can manage same two, three things one and the same time. They got that strength, 40 years, Fijr namaz with Isha wuzu. Have you got that strength? So you can't now envy them and you can't aspire for what they had caught. They had that type of strength. Hazrat Shah Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, he also tried, when he came across this type of incident, he tried also to start off some business. What a great person he was. What a great luminary, what a great person he was. He tried the same. He did for a year, said, no. Yeah, mere bas ki baat nahi, I can't manage it. Imagine such a great person, he tried it. But no, these great people did it. No, why must I do it? Why must I take a salary? For 1 month he tried it, or 1 year he tried it, and said, no, ye tamare bas ki baat nahi, we can't manage it in this day and time. Yeah. So, this Muhammad bin Sirin, rahmatullah alayhi, he is buying a consignment of oil. I'm just showing you that ihsan, it must prevail right through, not in the things of convenience only. In things of convenience, to bring it is easy. In the things of convenience, to bring that sifat of ihsan is quite easy. Right? But right through, where you are known, where you aren't known, see? And really, if you were to know the person, ask his friends. And ask his wife, how's he? Ji? They will give the real story, the true story they will give. Yeah, sab uske utre putre, sab khol denge. They'll say, yeah. They talk of that person, the buzrug, ask me. The wife will say, ask me, I'll tell what he is. Right? That is, if she's not scared of the husband, then. Otherwise, if she's scared, she says, no, I'd rather stick around, I won't have any other place to stay. I'd rather just stick around this man here. Well, he's a very good man. But just ask her to speak freely, what do you think about my husband? Then you'll get a true reflection of the man. So this is where we go wrong. One, two situations we have in Quran Sharif or Ihtikaf and month of Ramadan and a little bit more. We get engaged in work and then we come to the conclusion that we're very pious, we're very righteous. We've got those things already. We're still trying. Still endeavoring to be there. We aren't there yet. That nafs, until that nafs is not broken down, it's not smashed down. Until then, you haven't reached anywhere. Though you spend some time in the khanqah, spend time in the jamaat, spend time at the madrasa, wherever. but the nafs is still in you. And it props his head at an occasion. Just let the man anger you. Let him provoke you and see how you're going to behave. I don't say getting angry for valid reason is not permissible. But what I'm saying is, look at the person when he's provoked. Does he remain within parameters, or he breaks all parameters? He goes beyond. 90% of the time, we'll find the person is provoked, pious or impious, but he can't contain himself. He will say things, he will behave in a manner that is not expected of him, the way he behaves, the way he conducts himself, 90% of the time. 5 or 3% of the time, you'll find the person is behaving right, whether he's provoked or not, but he's remaining within parameters. Otherwise, it's very difficult. One Buzurg, his wife was harassing him. And these Buzurg al-Adin, many of them had uphill with their wives. They were, a lot of times I think about it, for us, not for those Buzurg al-Adin that were in the past, for us in this day and time, and when you get uphill with the wife, you see. So I think to myself, the Buzurg al-Adin in the past, they spent 20 years, 30 years in the Khanqa. And they went through the mill. Difficulties, pains, go and clean the toilet, go and do this, go and do this. Right? Now we, in this 21st century, we don't take out that type of time. We don't make that sacrifice. Baki tu mein bhi jannat mein jana hai, you have to go to jannat as well. Allah Pak has got a maqam for you as well. And you want to get there free of charge. So we'll put your musli, we'll put your sheikh right inside your house. She will get all the musti out of you. Every now and then you make some musti, she'll get you out. She'll fix you up again. Right? So it's the process of islah, reformation, correction. You're doing something and she gets you again. Now just now you went to the masjid and you gave a wonderful talk. But the moment you step at home, tawa, she'll let you have it. There at the masjid there was a big crowd, 500,000 people. At a Jummah or something, right? And everybody shaking your hand, make dua, wonderful talk and all that. There you're coming home, straight away you're caught. Does it happen or not? So that is to neutralize you, to moderate you, otherwise you'll get so proud, you'll be taken away by shaitan. So there, she is your sheikh, she's putting you right. So in our situation, our context, when I look at these type of things and I hear about these things, and I feel that really it's a blessing, that otherwise if we don't have this woman in place to rectify us and correct us, then shaitan will have the better over us. The nafs will have the better over us. Yeah, sometimes they are shouting us and they are telling us things for no valid reason. Now you had a hard day in the madrasa, hard day, very, very hard day. Then you come home and the child is crying one way, relentless, one way, just carrying on, broken record. You don't know what to do. Such a hard day, so much of mutala was making, was doing this. Now I must listen to this music again. See? So your islah is being done. What's happening? Your islah, reformation, correction is taking place. That endurance is coming in. See? So don't consider it as a punishment. Ja'alu fitnatan nasi ka azabillah. Don't consider it as a punishment. It's a training process. Allah Pak is creating endurance in you, perseverance in you. Little wife you can't tolerate. How are you going to go in jihad? Those people want to go out in jihad. So that Nabi is telling them, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُبَتَلِيكُمْ بِنَهَرٍ فَمَنْ شَرِيبَ مِنْهُ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Right, you want to go out in jihad? Right, very good. Allah Pak is going to try you out. Are you capable of going and facing the army or not? Because in war, the greatest thing is endurance, perseverance. Can you stick? Can you be perseverant? Can you be strong? See? More than the physical strength, can you persevere? No matter what the odds are, what the oppositions are, can you remain like that? So that's what's going to be seen in jihad, you know, at the time of war. This is what is seen. So Allah Pak is telling that Nabi as well, that Nabi, you address these people that are aspiring to go out in jihad. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُبَتَلِيكُمْ بِنَهَرٍ. Allah Pak is going to test you out. And what is going to test you out? It's going to be a thirsty day, and you're going to be very, very thirsty. Perhaps for some time you didn't have any water, very thirsty. And now you're crossing a river with crystal clear water. فَمَنْ شَرِيبَ مِنْهُ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. The test is, you're not going to drink of this water. You're feeling thirsty. For some time you didn't have water. It's a hot day. You had an arduous journey. With all that, you're not going to drink from this water. فَمَنْ شَرِيبَ مِنْهُ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Now what is it? Why is this test? This test is to see perseverance, endurance, tolerance. What is the level of tolerance? What's the degree of tolerance? See? فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَهُ هُوَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ قَالُوا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا الْيَوْمَ بِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُونِهِ. Now those that drank then went mad and drank, scooped out water and began to drink one way. Now they say, we have not the strength to face Goliath. In English, Goliath. Jalut, English, Goliath. We don't have the strength. Tawa, their morale broke. Their metal was broken down. They failed the test. The test is of endurance, of tolerance. And the tolerance was seen when they came, when they confronted the army. The level of the tolerance was witnessed. They got no strength. Right. Now this happens everywhere. It doesn't only happen in the wife. It doesn't happen only in jihad. I was explaining one person that the people in the earlier days, what mettle, what endurance, what tolerance they had. You know, you say one jamaat went in a certain area and they made wonders. They changed this, changed the whole picture in that town. Said, yeah, but what sifat they had? Do you know what colors they had? So I said, I remember certain situations around maybe late 60s, early 70s, somewhere. And a jamaat is prepared. And they're going to London, right? So now for the first time they'll be going to London. They did their 4 months in all the India, Pakistan, and they're going to London, right? Now suddenly the Amir of the jamaat says that there is a certain sudden takaza in somewhere in Amlazi or in Transkei somewhere, and you have to spend your 40 days or 2 months there instead of going to London. Now imagine when your passport was made, and all the family, friends, and everybody around the 60s, 70s, and what a big thing it was. You're looking forward, and they all excited about it, all everybody's thrilled. Now it's, London is nothing. Now it's like you're going to Maritzburg and coming back. It's so simple, a simple thing. That time it was a big thing. See? You also think, I need to go quickly before the bridge collapses in London. Eh? You need to go quickly there. So everything, you're so thrilled about it, you're so excited about it, going, passport is getting ready, it's a currency, and you're about to board the plane. Then the Amir Sahib comes and says, no, you go and work in Amlazi for 2 months, go. And you'll find those older people without a frown, without any, no, Hazrat, whatever you say. Hamara kaam hai khidmat karna. Our work is to do khidmat. The place is immaterial, whether it's London, whether it's Basutu land, whether it's Amlazi. Wherever you ask us to go, we will go there. Now that is that tolerance, that endurance. And that person has got that endurance, you'll see there's a lot of work Allah Ta'ala takes out of him. And that endurance comes, it's not told to you in advance that it's going to come. One is I tell you, you know, you'll make your passport for London, right? And we'll write you down for London, and at the last moment, then you'll work in Amlazi. Then he's prepared for it, there's no test. But now you're preparing in a different way, in a different wavelength. Your mind is in a different wavelength. You're prepared, you're excited, the family, folks, everybody's talking about it. They made the list also, you must get this from Harrods and on. You know, everything was prepared. Right? And at the last moment they say no. And you see all the hell breaking in you. It's Amir Sahib. They don't know how, they ask us to keep up to the usul. But they can't keep up to their promises. They ask us to go here. You know what difficulty I went through? And now they ask you to work in Amlazi. Where their brains are gone? All that hell breaks loose at that time. Endurance. Where's that endurance? Where's the tolerance? And with the tolerance you'll find that the strength comes. Your talk has got so much more effect. The little bit of work you are doing, it's so much more effective. Right? There's so much of Allah is taking so much of good out of you. But then for that you need to have that level of tolerance. So these people are being tested the same. That Allah is going to مُبْتَلِيكُمْ بِنَهَرْ فَمَنْ شَرِيبَ مِنْهُ فَلَيْسَ مِنْهُ. You're going to drink, you're not from my group. You can't join my battalion. Why? You've drunk and you fail in the test. Your tolerance, see? You fail in the tolerance test. So now you can't come across, you can't come with us. قَالَ الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُ اللَّهِ كَمْ مِنْ فِيَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِيَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. But those that pass the tolerance test, so now they say, you don't have to break heart. كَمْ مِنْ فِيَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِيَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. That many a small group, they overcame a big group by the command of Allah. Small army, they overcame and they defeated a huge army by the command of Allah. And remember, the decision is in Allah Ta'ala's hand. Allahumma as-sabin. Allah Ta'ala makes the decision that who should be victorious and who should be defeated. And that victory comes with sabr. Wallahumma as-sabirin. You persevere, you're tolerant. You go through all that difficulty, you go through it. It was against the grain, it was against your tabiat. You didn't desire for that, you didn't want that. And you did it because of the command of Allah Ta'ala. The Amir Sahib is saying, do it. Your sheikh is saying, do it. The madrasa is saying, do it. And you persevered. So now you pass through that test of perseverance and tolerance. And now you see, Allah Ta'ala will allow that type of good to flow out of you. But first come through this way. So we are talking of ihsan, you know. Ihsan will be seen right through. It won't be seen just in one isolated incident, how you behaved and how you conducted yourself. Right through, ihsan will be seen. In difficult moments, unexpected situations coming about, how do you conduct yourself? How do you behave? Allah Ta'ala tawfiq.